Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us on the line this morning is Barbara Suffer. Barbara is a prize-winning journalist and author who also serves as Israel Director for Public Relations for Hadassah Women, the Women's Zionist Organization of America. She writes a weekend column for the Jerusalem Post called The Human Spirit. She made Aliyah from America and lives with her husband, scientist and author Gerald Schroeder in Jerusalem. Barbara, a very, very good morning. Thanks for taking the time to speak to us.
Oh, good morning to you and an early Shabbat Shalom to all of the listeners. Sending my blessings here from Jerusalem. I'm sure you can smell the chicken soup cooking all over the country right now.
Absolutely we can. Absolutely wonderful to speak to you, and it's actually quite funny because as I was introducing you, Zanati, my co-host, said, oh my goodness, I have met Barbara. Where did you meet her?
When I was in Israel in 2018, right. And she took us through a tour of Hadassah. Absolutely
incredible.
Beautiful experience.
That is such a small world. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. Barbara, what is also incredible is I mean, there's been so much good, interesting, good news or developments coming out of Israel. But one that really seems to have impacted are these trials that are currently taking place at Hadassah with regard to the Passover vaccine. Can you explain to us what that is?
Can do my best. I'm not a doctor, so I'm giving you a layperson's explanation of it. I want to say, first of all, that the term of passive vaccine is a little bit confusing, because we're not talking about a vaccine that was created that we say you take a vaccine for the flu, so you're not going to get the flu this season. This is what they call a passive vaccine, and they're using antibodies that were from patients who've recovered from COVID-19.
Right.
Those aren't your own antibodies, hence they're called passive. So how does that really come about? They made a very big effort in Israel, and particularly at Hadassah, which is in Jerusalem. Now, you know that one of the populations that was hard hit by COVID-19 was the religious populations here in the United States. I don't know about in South Africa. And they got a lot of bad press. But I want to tell you that from the second that they knew that those who had recovered could contribute their plasma to this effort, they ran to do it. And we were very much involved with that in Hadassah. Nice. We had tens of people who come to the hospital. So they donated their what they call convalescent plasma.
Right.
That plasma was transferred to a company in Rehovot that deals with plasma treatment. This is a commercial company. This isn't just a laboratory test on mice.
Right.
This is a commercial company. And they've developed an antibody serum. And it was used for the first time. They have a certain, they haven't put it out all over the world yet, but they're ready to try it in special cases in Israel. And the first case is at Hadassah now. This is a young woman with very severe disease, very severe. When they did the CTs of her lungs, they were almost white. For non-professionals like me, although I've actually seen those pictures, the lungs are attacked by this disease. We all know that, and it's one of the weak points. And they administered it to her. Now, she's still very sick, but she's stabilized, and they're very hopeful. So if this works, this will be a major breakthrough. The whole direction is a breakthrough. So it's getting a lot of attention around the world. Everybody is looking to see what's happening. This is, a plasma-derived treatment.
Right. Right.
And that's really what, it's not something that you and I are going to be taking next week in order not to get this disease.
It was interesting because I was going to ask you about the term passive vaccine because it didn't really make sense what that was. But now I understand it's because it is made up from antibodies essentially from a person who has recovered, and that is being used in the treatment almost in a way a vaccine is used ahead of time. But this is really specifically being used to treat somebody who's very ill.
Yes, I actually didn't understand it myself, and I was concerned because the word vaccine is like clickbait, you know, everybody's looking for that vaccine. And I had a long conversation yesterday with the head of the blood bank at Hadassah, who actually took these plasma samples. I want to stress this because these were people who came in, takes about an hour to get to Hadassah, sat there for an hour giving plasma, and then took an hour at least to get home. So that this is a very heartwarming effort in a way by people who are busy and people who are not so connected to the medical world who came in to take it, and then they came from the company in Rehovot and they picked it up. And this is the basis of this new, what they're calling the passive vaccine, but I rather call it a therapy.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
So many people are confused by it, and I was confused by it myself.
Right.
But it's really important that this is happening in Israel. If I could take just a second to say that because of the long history of making medicine important, and not just treatment, but research and basic research, in Israel, combined with the agility of the startup nation, we're seeing a lot of very interesting developments taking place in Israel and at Hadassah also in particular. I mean, just last week, one of our physicians who is involved in blood clots came out with a possible approach to COVID-19, you know, we all know, we've read so much already that blood clots are a terrible problem. And his long-term understanding of the mechanism has found a possible treatment so that early on in the disease, the blood clots people will get a fairly common drug, and that will prevent the development of the blood clots later. So we're treating on many different levels, looking for the different solutions. And we're not going to wake up tomorrow and say, wow, you know, here's the number one treatment. That's a dream, but probably a pipe dream. What we see is a lot of collaboration and the results of long-term developments and understanding. I mean, I don't know how much you are, but when I was growing up, bringing up my kids,
I want to come back to that. Carry on.
Right. People would just say, oh, it's just a virus. Well, today we know that's a scarier word than it used to be, and that we've already seen the development of virology, and it's very complicated, but go ahead and ask.
Yeah, no, I found it interesting because, you know, what we've seen, what we see in the commercial world, and you see in places of education. We spoke with the vice chancellor of one of the major universities here in South Africa last week, and he spoke about the fact that they had already prepared by giving students laptops, for example, for the last 4 years. Companies that had created a culture around agility are the companies that are doing the best during a time like this. And Israel as a country has actually adopted that culture as well. Culturally, Israel is incredibly well prepared for COVID-19. And you mentioned the word agility, though, the fact that there's the startup nation, approach where we've got this deep investment there in medical science and research. All of this comes together to actually place Israel in a phenomenally, competitive and advantageous position during a time like this.
Yes, it all does really come together in a good way. And I think an interesting point is that as soon as the coronavirus spread, everybody closed borders.
Mm.
But at the same time, the borders of science have never been so open. And it's an interesting factor. We can't physically move, but research is being shared. The day that we got our first patient, March 9th, I heard an update, and a lot of that research, well, all this new research came from China because they had already had the disease. Immediately, the Israelis were looking at it and wanting to put it into play. And when the Italians were short of ventilators, one of our doctors in the hospital jumped into the project to create very inexpensive ventilators for the whole world.
Mm.
And using his medical experience, he was able to tweak their project. And that's, I think, very, very beautiful. And when we say, you know, that we talk about light coming from Zion, that's one of the great biblical achievements here, in a way, that we see so many people looking towards Israel for new ideas and putting it all together.
Yeah, one of the other ones that we've been following as well, because I think this will change the world, is the innovation also that Israel is looking at with the breathalyzer tests, with the instant results, or fairly instant results.
Yes, well, we at Hadassah, the testing is a very important part of it, and our virology lab has come up with a way of pooling a different test together so that you can do 8 tests at the same time. Israel, at the beginning, wanted to have one central laboratory, and that laboratory was contaminated. So at midnight, they called the virology head, Dana Wolf, Professor Dana Wolf, everybody's first names in Israel, you know, at Hadassah. And they called her at home, and they said, you have to take over. So she did. And in the meantime, they have to innovate. They can't just use yesterday's testing. They have to, though it's good. They found a way now of combining 8 samples at once, and the RNA, which is really the important part, has a barcode on it, and so they come out. They don't confuse whose is whose, and they're able to do testing very, very fast, and that's
a huge thing. Yeah. Because it's all really about that. It's identifying people as quickly as possible to prevent the spread. We unfortunately here are in the middle of, or we're heading towards the peak. The numbers are very, very high. Although we've done quite well until now, in the middle of winter, the growth rate is about 11% per day compounded in our area. And it is very, very problematic. Oh, we seem to have a bit of a problem with the line, which is very unfortunate. It is about to go 7:30. If we can't get back to Barbara, then unfortunately we are going to have to leave it there. Karen says a fascinating interview. Kim says, oh, sorry, Barbara, yeah, we did lose you. We are going to have to news.
I lost you for a minute. Yeah, there's so much to talk about, and there's so much going on. I just want to end with the biblical prayer, El Na Rafanala, which is what Moses prayed for when his sister Miriam was infected, and that is my prayer for the world.
Absolutely.
That is that we all must be healed, and we all have to be together. So I guess we're finished with our time. I want to wish you my really the best from Jerusalem, where we're about to we're all getting ready for the Sabbath here.
Absolutely.
And all our blessings, and thank you for calling, and we're
Barbara,
glad to share everything that's happening
just
at
to tell you,
Hospital.
So many messages from listeners saying, fascinating interview, absolutely loved this, can't we speak to Barbara every week? So we'll definitely be making contact with you again. It's about to go 7:30, have a Shabbat Shalom, and you may...
You too, a Shabbat Shalom to everybody.